The Hungarian lieutenant went among us with a basket and collected the last possessions from those who no longer wished to taste the bitterness of terror.
We can tell immediately that things have changed. Although it's still spring and trees are still blooming outside the train window, the villagers no longer take this as a sign that things will get better. Instead, they think tomorrow might be worse. Their eyes have been opened, but it is too late. The train has left, and there is no turning back. As we will see, the farther they get from Sziget, the more the Jews will be forced to leave their old lives behind and to accept their role as victims of the Nazis. Although some will fight back, many Jews will do as the Nazis tell them in hopes of saving their own lives and the lives of their loved ones. For example, some villagers just gave up their last remaining possessions to the Hungarian police because they were tired of tasting the bitterness of terror. Or in other words, the villagers gave up their things because they were afraid of being caught and beaten if they tried to hide anything. Let's keep going. We're on the second paragraph on page 22, starting with, "There are 80 of you."
"There are 80 of you in this wagon," added the German officer. "If anyone is missing, you'll all be shot, like dogs." They disappeared. The doors were closed. We were caught in a trap, right up to our necks. The doors were nailed up. The way back was finally cut off. The world was a cattle wagon, hermetically sealed. We had a woman with us named Madame Schechter. She was about 50. Her 10-year-old son was with her, crouched in a corner. Her husband and two eldest sons had been deported with the first transport by mistake. The separation had completely broken her. I knew her well, a quiet woman with tense, burning eyes. She had often been to our house. Her husband, who was a pious man, spent his days and nights in study, and it was she who worked to support the family. Madame Schechter had gone out of her mind. On the first day of the journey, she had already begun to moan and to keep asking why she had been separated from her family. As time went on, her cries grew hysterical. On the third night, while we slept, some of us sitting one against the other and some standing, a piercing cry split the silence. "Fire! I can see a fire! I can see a fire!" There was a moment's panic. Who was it who had cried out? It was Madame Schechter. Standing in the middle of the wagon, in the pale light from the windows, she looked like a withered tree in a cornfield. She pointed her arm toward the window, screaming, "Look! Look at it! Fire! A terrible fire! Mercy! Oh, that fire!" Some of the men pressed up against the bars. There was nothing there, only the darkness. The shock of this terrible awakening stayed with us for a long time. We still trembled from it. With every groan,